Hello everybody and welcome to Goldbridge Saves Football. If you love football, you've got to listen to this podcast. No manipulation, no scripting, no backhanders. We are going to say what needs to be said about the current state of football. The VAR decisions, the punditry, the results, the weekends, the whole lot. No sugarcoating, Will.
No, not even from me. Normally when you
say... It's not good for your diet.
No, exactly. Check out your diabetes. Normally when you say, I'm going to sort of talk how I want to talk, say whatever needs to be said, I get worried. But today I stand shoulder and shoulder next to you because this needs sorting out.
Well, this podcast has always been for the last year about saving football for you, the fans. Get involved, get your comments in. That's what it's all about. Because we're just the mouthpiece and we want this community. And the funny thing is, as we hit the first topic, which is this Nottingham Forest tweet, where they basically called out the VAR, quite rightly, and they've been absolutely piled on by the PGMOL, who are going to find them, the Premier League, every media outlet. I've heard Talk Sports, Alex Crook, I've heard Carragher, I've heard
Henry Winter,
they've all piled on. Well, we've got something that's been sort of hinted at before, which is going to paint the picture about why we think those, maybe Will's not brave enough to jump on it, but why I think they come out in protection of these people. Let's just paint the picture then, Will. What happened with the weekend and Nottingham Forest?
Well, Nottingham Forest, Everton, you rightly called it the biggest game of the weekend. Many scoff, many laugh, but it did turn out to be that case. Everton won 2-0, but that's not the story, is it?
No.
Three penalties. I think Ashley Young was involved in all three of them, I think.
Well, look, I after that, Nottingham Forest put a tweet out.
Yeah.
It's always dangerous for me to quote tweet a Nottingham Forest official tweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were you following Nottingham Forest?
That's how brave I am. I even ran the risk of Forest fan replies by... Some things are more important. And
football's bigger.
Football is bigger. Liverpool did this. Arsenal did this. And now Nottingham Forest have done it. And every time a club has come out and spoken against incompetent officiating, there has been a pile-on from the media, which we will reveal probably why in a moment. But first things first, let's be fair. You give your thoughts as well. Nottingham Forest come out and basically say, enough is enough. We're going to take advice. We spoke to the PGMOL before the weekend and said that one of the referees on VAR is associated with Luton, we believe. Can you replace him? They don't replace him. And then three penalties that all could have been given by VAR.
Yeah, I think two stonewallers, yeah. And also, I think you mentioned the Liverpool stuff speaks for itself because that was a mistake and they came out and said it. The Arsenal one I always felt was a little bit flimsy. But this is something that's been premeditated by Forrest to say, look, this guy is a problem. So that's a red flag there. And that is classic PGMOL. They never sort out... that there's a problem there to be sorted. Sort it out. It's like VAR, how we've got so far into the season without that being sorted, and they haven't. And the one thing with the statement, I feel like the owner's literally just taking the phone straight away from
it. It was very quick, yeah.
It's definitely not a social media admin.
No.
It's the owner straight in there.
So I've got the admin on the... Straight in there telling... Is it wrong?
I think the statement could be different, but I don't think that's the point. I think it's got to a point now where you're like, you know, Nottingham Forest have had the points deduction, they're fighting for their life. Every point matters. They've already had like the Liverpool drama. So I actually find it quite refreshing. In the football on the Sky Sports coverage, it's quite interesting that Neville Carragher was sort of saying about the Mark Clattenburg stuff as well, which we need to get into. But Louis Sahar was the only one saying, I think it's right, really. And the French love to protest, don't they, Mark? When they're feeling aggrieved.
They don't mess about.
No, they don't mess about. And I just think, actually, we've said it before, and then we've tailored off, haven't we? We've gone, hey, and then, this needs to be the point of VAR needs to go.
I don't think we have tailored off. I just think other people have tailored off. I think listeners of the podcast would say, to be fair, you've never shut up about VAR all season. And I've been frustrated by it, and you've been frustrated about it, and we've kept banging the beat. But what really annoys me is that when you've got Jamie Carragher coming out and saying it's like a fan tweeting from the pub, and then you've got Gary Neville saying it's horrendous, Nottingham Forest is a class club and that's not very classy and Clattenburg should resign. Hold on a minute. You've missed the target. You've thrown a dart at the dartboard and somehow it's hit your arse. You are so far off the target. It's unbelievable. You should be ashamed. You should be absolutely ashamed. So what if it was a fan from the pub? What's wrong with a fan from the pub? Are they wrong, Jamie? Are they not entitled to an opinion? And Mark Clattenburg should resign, Gary? It's horrendous. You have absolutely not read the room. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's arrogance. They have not read the room, because every football fan who saw that tweet was like, absolutely spot on. And I've been in this position, and I know you've spoken to people as well. There's a lot of people who watch the United Stand, That's Football, and listen to this podcast. Some of them are in the industry. And a couple of weeks ago, I had people from Wolves messaging me saying, you know, basically saying, can you mention it in a show? Because they absolutely don't know what to do. So if Wolves feel like that, and Forest feel like that, and Liverpool feel like that, and Arsenal feel like that, and the fans feel like that, I couldn't give a shit about Gary Neville or Jamie Carragher or the PGMOL or the Premier League. Because to me, the football clubs and the fans, that's where it ends. And if football clubs are coming out and saying, enough is enough, and fans are saying, enough is enough. Look, fans aren't being listened to. So when I see a club like Liverpool or Arsenal or Forest or Wolves come out and say, we've had enough of this, I actually think, well, they're powerful. They are powerful. And I think that's why everyone's reacting, going, oh, they should say it behind closed doors. Oh, it's disgusting. I think the outrage is because they're shit scared of what clubs, the power clubs have.
Well, also, it's quite a British mentality, isn't it? Even going back to that Louis Saha
stuff. Stiff upper lip.
Yeah, it's like Gary Neville, there's right ways to do this. Well, the right ways that have been to do this have been tweeting different bits, like the man, he was saying the manager should come out and say, well, he's going to get fined, and then that's just the generic thing. Like, you need to break from tradition to make something stand out and be powerful, and even have these conversations that everyone's going to be having today because something has been done differently. I think the Mark Clattenburg stuff almost strengthens their case as well, because to have someone of that power coming out, and like, there was one where he could back down or double down.
And he's on the Gladiators.
And he's having a fantastic year. He's doubled down. Maybe he's got that Gladiator spirit in him. That's why he's doubled down on it. And he's back Nottingham Forest. He is paid by them, so I don't know if
But he was the ref at the Sidemen charity game, and I had my...
Look, nothing went wrong that day.
Nothing went wrong that day. I had my whoop on, and he walked over and went, I like your whoop. He's not Scottish. He's not Scottish. I think he's Geordie, isn't he? Anyway, he said, I like your whoop. Is it any good? And I was like, yeah. And I said, you know what? I've took the piss out of you a bit over the years. And he was like, oh, that's fine. And then we were talking, and he said he hated VAR. He said it is terrible for football. I don't know whether he likes being quoted about that, but I think you'll get more popular from me saying that, Mark. But he's absolutely spot on that. And I just despair at it. I mean, look, you're all going to have your own opinions, but this is really important, because I don't see what Nottingham Forest have done wrong. They've said before the game, we've got a concern about this guy. And then after the game, in a massive game, they've had three stonewallers. I mean, the third one is absolutely stonewall penalty. And I think the other two, well, the handball, I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. Literally one was given against Wan-Bissaka in the same day. So what is the handball rule? And the third one, you see him get given. But to have three in one game and not get a penalty, and then you've expressed a concern about the VAR, they're absolutely correct. And if it's dealt with behind closed doors, we don't know about it. And that's what they want. I think we've said this many times. The PGMOL, the Premier League, the media, they are a small entity, dictatorship, who are trying to keep control of a massive audience that's very powerful, and the clubs are very powerful, and they somehow are a tiny little group with a lot of power trying to keep control of the masses. And what they're sensing is, if we keep this in-house, then we'll stay in control. The minute this starts getting out of hand, we're in trouble. And I think we saw that after Liverpool, didn't we? Because when the Liverpool thing came out on the night, Carragher, maybe Neville, I can't remember, were outraged. And then 24 hours later, they were like, oh, Liverpool have gone too far being outraged. And you're like, you were outraged 24 hours before. Who's had a word with you? Is it the hand that feeds you?
Well, yeah, and then going into that, I don't know much how you want to go into, but like, obviously when you've been at certain broadcasters that have Premier League rights, there is like a bi-weekly meeting?
Yes, yeah.
A briefing that comes down, like, because you've been told off probably one or too many times.
I did a tweet probably sometime at the start of the year. As people will know, I can sometimes react with emotion. I said something at the start of the year about this referee must be getting brown envelopes or something like that.
I think you call him a Cockney Mafia or something.
I don't know. I don't know what I said. But basically, I got warned from via talks.
Howard Webb came around your house and he said, look, listen here, you.
And he had Michael Owen in the back of the car. He was just saying, whatever he says, I agree. But no, I got sort of warned about it from via the PGMOL, via TalkSport, allegedly. But I definitely got a warning. I mean, I didn't have any interaction with the PGMOL, but I certainly got told it through TalkSport, which is fine. You know, they're a radio broadcaster, and if that's absolutely fine. But then I came up, I sort of responded and I said, but you know what? All right, I might have said it the wrong way, but it's so bad. Like, it's so bad. Like, they're just a dictatorship. And that's how I found out that every 2 weeks they have this bi-monthly meeting whereby, and I don't think it's a secret. I mean, might be getting in trouble here, but this is a podcast. I don't need to be on TalkSport anymore if it matters.
Howard Webb might be outside the window just looking in.
But it shouldn't be a secret. Why would it be embargoed? I don't know. But look, I don't think fans are aware of it. So when you talk about what went on at the weekends with how certain pundits reacted, how certain journalists reacted, and when you talk about the 24-hour spin from it's outrageous what happened to Liverpool to, oh, let's give these referees a bit of, you know, time and let's look after them. And we've seen that all season. It does start to make a little bit more sense if you're a fan when you're in possession of the facts. So every 2 weeks, the PGMOL have a meeting by Zoom or whatever, and loads of people are invited to it. And that's mainstream broadcasters, radio, everything. So categorically, yes, there is a relationship between the PGMOL and the mainstream broadcasters in the UK. What goes on in those meetings, I don't know. But it definitely comes across to me when you've got people like Carragher and Neville who are completely missing the room and damaging their own popularity by, you know, pissing off fans. I do wonder just how much of that is based on Sky relationships and, you know what, lads, we don't need you on telly stoking the fire. We need to calm this down. Otherwise, you know, we're going to break up the status quo.
Well, also, it's the way that they sort of interact. I really like Carragher. I think like, out of the two.
Yeah,
of
I do.
Them,
I tweeted him last night. I said, I'm very disappointed.
And I think out of the two.
I mean, he was there last night going, oh no, I'm
not going to sleep tonight.
I'm upset, Goldbridge.
But it's the way, like, especially with Neville, like when Sahar's speaking about like his point of view, it's like very like condescending to him. He's like, no, I'm right. You need to listen to this because this is actually the way to do it. When really, we're just going to end up in the same shitstorm that we have been all season unless something is done differently about it.
Look, I'm really passionate about this. I know Neville doesn't like me. We've never even met. He's a legend of Manchester United. He's a stubborn guy who obviously is very forthright and has been very, very successful. I respect that. But, you know, when we're talking about whether you should sack the manager or not, let's have a chat. He won't do it. On this, I don't really care, Gary. I really don't. I respect you, as I say, but I think you're absolutely wrong on this. And whether it's Louis Zahar or it's a football fan, you're wrong. You were wrong about Liverpool and you're wrong about this. And you're wrong, not because your personal opinion is wrong, but the masses are not with you on this one. This is about football, the beautiful game being destroyed by a dictatorship which will not listen to the fans, and a football club, not for the first time this season, has had enough. They've had their say, and then we've got the media telling us, the mushrooms in the dark that get shit on all the time, that we're wrong to back the clubs that are coming out and saying stuff that we're already saying. All Forest and Liverpool and Arsenal are doing is voicing what fans are doing all around the country every Monday morning. Look, 2 weeks ago, Wolves were absolutely screwed with that equaliser. Nobody did anything. Wolves should have tweeted about it because it's been forgotten. I've got no problem with Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United or any other club tweeting out they've had enough of it, because ultimately, if you don't say something, it gets swept under the carpet. So, you know, basically what the message is from the media and everyone else is Nottingham Forest shouldn't have done that. They should have kept it quiet and swept it under the carpet, because that's all we're done. We spoke about this back in September. What has changed from September to April? What have the PGMOL done to make any, even one change to a broken system? They've just let it get worse.
I got that graphic design of you looking like Winston Churchill saying we need to stop VAR, which we've not used yet. So maybe we have to boot that up.
Well, I think we do. And also, can I just say, I mean, we can come back to that. There's so much to get into. I want to talk about, you know, various things that have happened over the weekend. We'll talk about the title race, loads to get into. Make sure you get your comments in. And also, don't forget, very important, Goldbridge Saves Football. If you're listening on Spotify, give us 5-star reviews, give us a follow. This is gradually becoming what we wanted it to become, which is a very small, organic podcast that is just gradually growing, because our status is, we'll have a conversation with anybody, but we're here to save football, and we're here with you as the community to build something that's pure. And if we drop the ball, I expect to see it in the comments. I expect to see that.
Most listened to month was last month.
Yep.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sound very sincere, but yeah, you're absolute legends. But you know what? We've also said about switching VAR off, and it would be wrong. I know we're going to talk about Man United a little bit more in depth in a minute, but this might shock people. Prepare to be shocked. That Coventry winner is a disgrace to football in the sense that I know Man United would have lost, but that is why. And I think the incompetence of VAR and the officials is based on human error, but the fundamentals of VAR technology is also flawed. And I felt, it's weird to say this, but I think a lot of United fans feel it as well. You know, when Coventry win, or they thought they'd won, and you watch the footage, and I heard them all going up, and there's a camera, I got his phone like that. They've just scored. They've obviously left it a few seconds to see if the linesman puts his flag up, and he doesn't. They're all jumping around all over, and I hear one of them go, "It's the best moment of my life." Now, normally, that is going to entertain me for ages. I'm going to be laughing my head off. Yes. And I actually cried inside. Not physically, that would be too far. But I did, I thought, you know what? As much as I love Manchester United, I love football. Yeah. This is a football podcast. And I thought, we've lost something somewhere.
What, in terms of the essence of the decision?
We've lost the essence of football. Yeah, yeah. I know it's offside. You can't argue about that. It's offside. It is offside. But have we lost? Do we want that to be offside enough that we let everybody celebrate for a minute and then we pull it back? And it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what you think the answer is. But what I will say is we've lost the ability to celebrate goals. And that, to me, it must be horrible for Coventry as well, because they're from the Championship, so they're not used to that VAR either.
No. Well, we're used to incompetent refs, but that's another story for another day. But I'll counter your Coventry with, so take that feeling, but then you can almost celebrate the VAR decision with the, remember when it was Manchester City Spurs in the Champions League quarterfinal? Yeah. Pep's on his knees, they think they've scored, and then you almost get a new celebration because the goal's not been given, Man City are out, and Spurs are through. I agree, like the, there's just an innate feeling now, isn't it, of like being built in when VAR's in. It's just like, even if someone scores from 35 yards and you immediately like, yeah, oh, I don't know. But yeah, I don't think we should be looking into offsides that that narrow, because also with the benefit of the striker, and I think which league is it which has the sort of the lines actually a little bit thicker to give the striker a bit more benefit. I think that's what we need to be looking into, and that's ruined probably, that could be, should be the greatest moment in, sorry, I'm getting emotional, in FA Cup history.
Yeah, we've said it before, we've all said it, there is incompetence, which is a reason to switch it off. It's a disgrace this season. I mean, look, the integrity of the title, the integrity of the relegation battle is gone.
Voted in favour of the UEFA-style offside stuff coming in for next season.
But I just think with VAR, we've got all this AI. We've got, you know, 30 years ago, you didn't have the internet. 20 years ago, people didn't have a phone. No. So look at, you're not that far off from...
And it wasn't until Jake Humphrey did podcasts, we had podcasts either.
Yeah. And what my point is, if you take that Coventry VAR, right? If I'm a lover of football, which I am, and we need these people in the positions of power, in the PGMOL, in the Premier League, on the mainstream. People are just fixated on let's be very clear about what the perception of the PGMOL and the FA and the Sky and the TNTs and everyone is at the moment. It's a dictatorship that is desperately trying to cling on to dominancy of the market, and they're terrified of losing that. They're not thinking we're ruining the game. They're thinking, oh my God, it's crumbling around us. How do we protect each other? They need someone to go in there and go, hold on a minute, we've made a lot of mistakes this year.
Yeah.
The way to win this is not to come together in a small group and shut everybody out. It's to unite and bring everybody together. So if I was looking at VAR from a technological point of view, let's just park the incompetency because we've got ideas about that. But how do you solve the problem that an amazing moment for Coventry, and they're celebrating for a good minute.
Fans are left.
Man United fans are leaving. How do you take what is, I said it on the video this morning, it's like Game of Thrones, isn't it? One of the best TV series ever that no one ever talks about because they ruined it at the end. And there you go. You look at that game yesterday for Coventry and for anyone who doesn't like Man United. And it's weird for me to say this. One of the best FA Cup semi-finals ever ruined because VAR ruined it. So I think that VAR, we went with it too soon, because I do believe in the next few years, there will be a technology there that when that Coventry goal is scored, literally within 10 seconds, Coventry fans can celebrate, keep an eye on the screen, and it will come off offside.
But it is there already with the UEFA thing.
Like, you've got to get it down to almost, if you can get it down to under 5 seconds, even better, but definitely within 10.
Yeah, but that is there. That's the UEFA thing that's in place.
Is it that quick?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, because you remember when Qatar scored that first goal in the World Cup? No, someone scored a goal and it was instantaneous. It's like, they know straight away. Like, you don't have that all that faffing
about. Well, look at the ball over the line. you know very quickly, you look at the referee, he's vibrating on his arm and he goes like that. Nothing wrong with technology, nothing wrong with VAR on the offsides, but it can't be that long. It's destroying the game. And I, in fairness to that, we're going to have to suffer for a few years, but eventually I think that's logical. It's an open goal. They're not going to wait to...
It's coming in next year.
Let's see how quick it is. But
I think that the worrying one is around the subjective ones, because three of those, Nottingham Forest, but I thought all three should have been penned. And then you are looking at the decision to have the Luton Town guy, which actually isn't too hard to change. Like Blues the other week, we were playing... Oh, I think we were playing Cardiff or Preston, whatever. And the guy in charge, Bobby Madley, was a Huddersfield fan. We're in a relegation battle with them. It wasn't until we started speaking about it on Twitter that they actually removed him. Yeah. And that was the ref.
But it's fair.
And it's not hard to do, is it? Especially like a VAR assistant to remove them in Stockley Park.
I it amazes me that, again, I don't want to keep mentioning the same names, but the outrage that, you know what it is? It's their genuine outrage that Nottingham Forest have said
he's
linked to Luton.
Yeah.
And that's what they've got stuck on. But
it's
come
the
on.
Manner of the tweet as well, isn't
come
it?
Come on. At the end of the day, I know referees, you know people who, if Man United, if Liverpool are playing Fulham, I'm going to lean towards Fulham. If Man United are playing, I don't know, Stoke, and a Liverpool fan is going to lean towards Stoke. It's just natural. So when Nottingham Forest say he's got an association with Luton, we'd like him to get removed, he's not being bullied or victimised. He can go and do another game.
He
brings somebody else in. And they said it before the game, and then in the game, it's gone wrong. And look, I think, in a way, the fact that there's three decisions there is a bit problematic, because people will go, I'm not sure. I saw a match of the day. I'm not sure about the first one, not sure about the second one. The third one's definitely. Okay, well, let's kick the other two.
Yeah.
But the third one, when you watch it, it's you don't need the three. Let's just talk about that one.
Yeah.
There is no justification that that's not a penalty, and that's exactly what VAR is for. And even if the referee has gone, he's got the ball, well, VAR look at it and go, he hasn't got the ball.
Yeah.
So you need to look at that right now. And the fact that they haven't done that, corrupt's a strong word. I use
you'll be back in that meeting.
No, but I understand.
Or be
why
a knock at the door. It's Webb.
Well, you can't prove corruption. You can't prove that. And if you did, we're in big, big trouble. But what you can say is absolutely unacceptable incompetence that cannot be apologised for. And that's what I would say about that third one. But I think as well, let's carry it on. If you look at the weekend, I think everybody has a right to an opinion in football. And you put it out there, and it will either get ridiculed or people will jump on it and go, what a hot take. And I think that with regards to that tweet from Forrest, it was obviously very reactionary, but sometimes a reactionary thing can be,
it's a gut feeling,
can be
it?
Gold. Yeah. And I think it was gold. And I think Liverpool, what they did was gold. And, you know, they're not my clubs. But when I look at the way that we're doing VAR at the moment, when you look at that third Everton one and you look at the Doku foul on McAllister, I think VAR is, in relation to the human error, is corrupted in the sense that it's not corrupt in a, you know, people are taking backhanders. I think the VAR people are not as powerful as the referee on the pitch. Because when you go back to the Doku one, which should have been a penalty and would have had a massive impact on the title race, when you listen to the audio, the first thing VAR hear is Michael Oliver going, no, he's clearly both gone for the same ball, not a foul. So if I say to you, Will, I want you to impartially go and have a word with Niall, you know, probably sack him. And before you do, he's fucking useless and I want him gone.
Nice.
Then you're walking into that situation with, I've got to sack Niall. Yeah. You're not going to do it fairly. Niall's worried now. You're all right, Niall. It's fine.
For today.
But I think if Anthony Taylor says on that, I'd love to get the audio for it, because on that third penalty
for
Everton,
we'll have to wait a month.
But I reckon Anthony Taylor probably goes, no, got the ball.
Yeah.
The referee, what? Why? If I'm the referee and you're the VAR and I see it, I'd just go, Will, I think he gets the ball.
That's what they do in the union, isn't it? They go, this is my perception of it, but you've got 84 screens in front of you, 64 different angles. Like it ties back to, and I've said it so many times,
it's ego.
If you're going to be a referee, I said it before, if you went to me, I'm going to be a referee, I'd say, right, let's go and have a chat. Is everything all right? Mm. Because we just attract the wrong type of people to be referees, and they have to, I don't know if it's the system that they're in, but
they're all mates as well.
Yeah, and they have to, yeah. And you know, these things sound like very like, are just phrases that you put out there. The fact that Mike Dean starts the season by going like, oh, I was trying to protect some of my mates on VAR decisions. I don't give a fuck if he's your mate. Do you know what I mean? What's that got to do with me? What's that got to do with decision making? And I also think the bigger picture here as well is the fact that we end up talking about the tweet, Neville's reaction to the tweet, Carragher's reaction to the tweet, when the fundamental thing is the actions taken to get them there, isn't it? Like, why have they had all that emotion to want to tweet that? Because VAR is broken.
Yeah, and that's where they've missed the point. And look, I remember saying this. We were discussing it at Christmas time. In no way do I just want this to be a soapbox to just moan, moan, moan. We're going to talk about Man United and the results and Arsenal and everyone in a bit. But like at United at the moment, all I hear from United fans who want Ten Hag out is just sack him. He's got to go. And then you go, who's coming in then? Don't care. Come on. You know, you've got to have an alternative. And what is very, very clear to me, and I think we should discuss this for a few minutes, and I'd love to get some of your comments because I read them. Will doesn't.
I do read them.
I nick a lot of stuff from there. It's great, great, great content. And I'd love to know what your solutions would be because here we go. I have got some solutions and I'm sure you have as well. So I think where we're going wrong here is very clear that these inexplicable decisions where Liverpool don't get a penalty against Man City and Everton isn't given a Forest aren't given a penalty against Everton and Grealish isn't a handball but Wan-Bissaka is. I mean, in the same penalty box in the same tournament, 24 hours apart, one person's hit on the arm from 2 meters away, one's hit from 20 meters away. One's a penalty, one's not. They're both penalties, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't believe the Grealish one when I saw that back.
And that doesn't even get reviewed on VAR. It's Michael Oliver again. And I guarantee the audio of that will be Michael Oliver going, no, hands in a natural position, not a penalty for me. And VAR will go, yeah, Michael's right. He's the boss.
Really technical point. Do you actually think we'll get to hear the VAR audio because it's like a Premier League show, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we will. But I think that is, I would bet a pound to a penny of shit that it is actually the VAR officials are shit scared of the referee on the pitch. And it's not independent and they're basically just trying to help him out. Well, I've solved it. In the America, in the USA, and also in Spain.
See?
I can't remember. Let us know in the comments what they have in Spain. But in America, you got the FBI and you got the police.
Yeah.
And the police can't control the FBI and the FBI can't control the police. In fact, in some ways, they probably are, you know, competitors.
Is that like when they turn up to a crime scene, they're like, FBI taking over here.
There's respect, but they're different. And in Spain, if you go to Mallorca, you've got the police. I can't remember what it's called. They've got two different police forces.
We could go anywhere in Spain.
Police Municipal and National Police or something like that.
See.
So this is what you do with VAR. You have the referees on the pitch and then you have the VAR. And they're not associated, but they're part of the PGMOL.
Yeah.
So you've got a load of people working on the pitch and you've got a load of people on VAR.
When
Michael Oliver goes, No, not for me. It's City's hand. You go, thank you, Michael. Right, we'll take it from here.
Yeah.
Silence. They discuss it. He shuts up.
Yeah.
Come back to him. Michael, right, we think you need to look at this because we feel that he doesn't make contact with the ball. Over to you.
No, but even that language, they can be more assertive, I think, if you're doing that system. Because it's like, oh, Michael. Like, no, it just needs to be like, right, it's touch his hand from 10 yards out here. It's waving out like a washing line. That is a penalty.
It's not incompetence. It's cowardice.
Yeah.
And look, we've just solved VAR. Howard Webb's probably sat at home going, not doing that, dunking his obnob or whatever. Probably doesn't eat obnobs. But it's so logical. It's so logical. And what I would do as well.
Go on.
You know what's his name? Curtis Jones red card against Spurs start of the season.
Yeah.
Right, any tackle like that for the rest of this season is a red card. We'll review it in the summer. Because we've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
And you've got to use example. And handballs.
But that's where I think.
Handballs, Wan-Bissaka, if that's a handball, then any contact with a ball in the box from 2 metres or longer on an outstretched arm has to be a penalty. We've got to be, might be one or two that slip through, but the biggest thing that frustrates me, and I think a lot of fans as well, is that I used to watch a game and I'd know what a handball was, I knew what a red card was, and there'd be a couple that slipped through
I don't think it's that, though. I think it's more that you knew it would just be dealt with then, and then you can go to the pub after and have the decision, where it's like we're refereeing decisions in the game, and then it's adding more time on. It's the not knowing. Like, you can play on.
But you can't predict.
No, I'm not saying you can predict.
Because you've just done that. You've just said, I saw the Grealish one, I can't believe it's a handball, and then the Wan-Bissaka one, I think is a handball and it's given. I can't believe it. That's what I mean. We don't know what a handball is now. Like one of Everton's was a handball as well.
I thought that was a penalty.
Yeah, all three were handballs for me, but two of them have not been given.
Yeah, but that's where I think that's why my solution for VAR is just remove VAR and anything that's subjective, which it shouldn't be, but is always going to be just because of the nature of the game, is offside, bring that in if you've got the UEFA technology. Goal line technology, fine with that. Everything else, just referee on the pitch, because it's taking away from, more importantly, what you said, the Coventry thing, which is the very essence of the game. If you can't celebrate a goal without, it's a flag or not, done. Not 3-4 minutes waiting.
I agree. I completely agree.
Or unless you say they've got to be separated. Have you watched Fallout yet?
Not all of it.
No. You know what it is? So yeah. Those ones at Stockley Park have got to go in a vault. So then there's no cross-contamination and they all live in that thing. So then they can't get in. And if they do, they become raiders. And then it's almost like a nuclear war sort of scene. Do you know what I'm saying there?
Yeah, boring. But what I will say is that absolutely, I agree with that sense, not the Fallout stuff, that basically we would have a better Premier League if VAR didn't exist. Because
yeah,
that we'd still have the mistakes.
And you can forgive those mistakes.
What I cannot understand is how Anthony Taylor in that Everton game doesn't give the penalty, but then the fail-safe technology doesn't give the penalty.
Yeah.
So remove the fail-safe technology and just let's go, Anthony Taylor's missed one there.
That's why it is like a sort of mafia, because the referees are like the top bosses and then the VAR ones are like
that. Absolutely pointless.
They're like, what do they call them? They're like, not the chiefs.
Minions.
They're captains, they are.
They've just...
You've got to punch up, I imagine. Maybe there's...
It's absolutely shocking. Also, I have to say this. You might not want to get involved, but before we move on to other bits, I have to say this.
Oh God.
I am not using the word corrupt. What I am using is sinister. The word sinister. Michael Oliver, on Saturday, against Manchester City, inexplicably didn't give a handball against Grealish, which I think if Chelsea get that, Palmer does score. 1-0. Pep himself, we're going to talk about him, moaning about how tired they are. They probably don't come back from that. So Man City are in an FA Cup final and probably win it because Michael Oliver didn't give a penalty. Liverpool probably won't win a league title because they didn't get the opportunity to beat Man City for a penalty that Michael Oliver didn't give them. Man City scored their first goal at Old Trafford in the Manchester derby because Anthony Taylor didn't give a penalty against Rasmus Højlund on Rodri, but VAR Michael Oliver said you might want to take a look at it. Kovacic didn't get sent off twice in the Emirates game because Michael Oliver didn't think it was a red card. And Man City 1-1 at the Etihad at the start of the season, when Fulham had the momentum, Man City were given a goal that was clearly offside by a long way, and Michael Oliver was the referee in that. What is wrong with me pointing that out?
What are you starting with me for?
Oh, I thought you were Gary Neville for a minute.
No. I was just going to say, joining us Thursday on the podcast will be Michael Oliver.
Well, I bloody love it. But you know, people are scared. It's a bit like the 115 with Man City. And don't worry, City fans, you don't need to turn off. We're not doing that today. What is wrong with any club or any fan going, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
That referee, if we're deep in it, obviously, he hasn't done it on purpose.
No one's saying that. But
he's had a massive... Michael Oliver probably should get Player of the Year for Man City. When you put it like that,
yeah,
he's won them, technically could win them two trophies. And that's what I'm talking about. When Forrest say about the Luton thing and when Liverpool come on about the onside thing and when Arsenal moan about stuff, they've got every right to do it. And if Michael Oliver gets the FA Cup final and Man United don't put a petition in to say, can we change the referee because of this, this and this? And then the PGMOL or whoever say, no, Michael's the best referee. It can't be Michael Oliver in the final.
Also, with Michael Oliver, it's just a real damning indictment that like him, Anthony Taylor, they're the best officials that we've got.
In no way, shape or form am I saying, I've never liked him as a referee. I don't like him.
It'd be weird if you had favourite referees.
Yeah.
Because then you're a bit
seen,
corrupt.
Not heard. It's like the 1800s as a child. You should be seen and not heard as a referee.
Yeah.
And knowing their names to me, I remember my granddad saying it in the 80s when he took me to a match. He said, if you know the name of a referee, they're not a good referee. And he's absolutely right. But
that's like commentators.
I think it benefits Michael Oliver not to referee a Man City game for a while now because he can just get on with his refereeing because it's under scrutiny, isn't it? It really is. But
should we chat about football?
Let's chat about some football. Take a breath. Let's take a beat.
Yeah, you've done well there.
As Jerry would say in Blue Lights, rest in peace.
Don't know what that reference is.
It's a good
TV. From the 80s
as well?
Good,
no.
Did you watch that
Series
2
just started now. It's very good.
Did you watch Fallout?
I'm in the process of watching it, but it's not as good as
when
Blue
you say
Lights.
In the process, it means I feel like you just watched a trailer.
I've watched episode one and I might not watch any more. But look, where do we go next to keep it keep,
well no
keep
let's
it
start
rolling?
Let's start with the actual game of Manchester United and the big fallout from that, because if you were tired of Carragher and Neville, strap yourselves in, because
Carragher was saying after the game, is Ten Hag's got to go.
That's what I was going
to
say,
and I'm like, again, he's entitled to that opinion.
Yeah,
this is
that's
far,
fine
that's
yeah, yeah.
far better than his opinion there, but I just despair. I'm like, you know, the amount... I was on Talk Sport this morning.
Congrats.
With Jeff and Ali. And I think I was expected to say, get rid of this manager. And I went, hold on a minute. There's half an hour to go. We're 3-0 up. The team is full of internationals and he brings two internationals on and they capitulate. At what point do you exclusively put that on the manager? I mean, to be honest, if we're talking percentages, I'd say 20% the manager, 80% the players. And these players have consistently done this. You've then got United fans saying, it's the worst, most embarrassing result ever. Hold on a minute. Where have you been for the last 10 years, chuff monster? Like, it's just incredible to me. We've been knocked out by Derby County on penalties at Old Trafford in the Carabao Cup. Like, Coventry City didn't win the national lottery. You're in the semi-final. You've made it all the way from the National League. Like, they knocked Wolves out. Like, Coventry...
And we beat Coventry, actually.
Yeah, the week before.
Yeah.
Look, Man United nearly fucked it up. But there is
context.
But
do you not think that... I think the big thing for Erik ten Hag staying is he probably should go, but then who'd you bring in? But then ultimately, should that be the argument? Like, he's not the right man to lead you forward.
But there is no man is.
But
no man does.
Someone's
no
got
woman
to be
does.
Someone's got to be there.
No, but... I just think, and look, it may well be a minority review on this one, but I just look at it and go, we've done this for 10 years. It's always the manager.
No, they're an easy
fall guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's one individual and it's so easy to change one thing. And in the whole history of football, the manager is always the guy, isn't he? But I think if you've watched United for any period of time, you'd look, half that team was there with Rangnick 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did exactly the same. Some of them were there with Ollie. Some of them were there with Mourinho, and they've done the same. At what point? And I also think from an Ineos point of view, Sir Jim Radcliffe, who owns the club.
Hey, great marathon by him at the weekend.
He did really, really well.
Fantastic.
I was a bit worried.
Really,
if I'm doing that when I'm 90, I'll be... Well, he's not 90, 70.
And maybe it's a bit of a metaphor, because that's what you're saying in his comments, wasn't it? You know, it's going to be a marathon, not a sprint, to turn this club around. And what we've been saying on this podcast... Have a bit of patience.
And I think the most important thing about Manchester United, from my perspective, and I think a lot of fans, is that we want to see something new, whether it's a new stadium, whether it's a new style of football, whether it's a new dressing room culture.
But
what to do that, you can't make mistakes of the past. And I saw us got linked to like Tuchel or De Zerbi or whatever. And I go, what's... And we're in an FA Cup final. And I think to myself, well, we're in a very, very dangerous position here of doing something that feels ridiculously deja vu. We should get Denzel Washington to come home. Good film.
Yeah.
Because Louis van Gaal got to an FA Cup final, and on the night of the FA Cup final afterwards, he got sacked for Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
So if we sack Ten Hag after the FA Cup final and bring a new manager in, it's just what we've done before. And I think Ineos need to steer clear of that. What we've never done is what we've needed to do for a decade, is actually clear out. We've sold one or two.
Yeah, but there's still the remnants of it.
We literally need to... That squad is absolutely... What's the word?
Shit.
Infected.
Oh, right.
Ten players need to go. Now, that's significant. That's a clear out. So for me...
And a lot of, like, when, you know, if you're playing Football Manager, you have that sort of team leader structure. And a lot of ones near the top that are the team leaders are wrong.
Yeah. So I look...
Hierarchy.
Sack the manager if you want. Whatever, sign a £100 million player if you want. We've been there, we've done that.
Mm.
But what we haven't done is sell 10 players in one summer. And I think that is the number one thing. Can you do that with a new manager? You mentioned Southgate, some people mentioned De Zerbi. Historically, a new manager doesn't come in and sell 10 players when they've not worked with them.
No.
So what you're going to get is a new manager who's going to work with the same players and he'll be let down by those players. And what I would do if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe is I would say, right, I'm not getting my CEO till the summer. I'm not getting my director of football till the summer. If I bring a manager in, he doesn't start till the summer. Who's going to tell me to sell these players? Because no one's worked with them. If I keep Ten Hag until next season, at least he can tell me what players to sell. we can bring players in that I'm happy with. And then if Ten Hag fails next year, at least I've got rid of a load of players. I've brought in some good players. I'm in a better position to replace the manager.
And also just having this new structure is going to completely change it, where it's such a simple thing, isn't it? Where like the philosophy is going to be set by like the technical director and the director of football. They'll have experience of the players no matter which manager's coming in. They'll know X player's a bad egg. You've got to play in this system so we can keep buying in players because they're buying into that system. So it's just very simple things, and everything that's coming out from Sir Jim and Ineos I think is very positive. So put a smile on your face, will you?
Well, I just worry because...
You're in an FA Cup final, man!
I just worry because you've got journalists for Manchester United shouting sack the manager and stuff like that. And you just worry, don't you? You just worry because the majority of the fans, about 70%, 75%, don't want to sack Ten Hag. But that's not what you hear in the media, is it? And no. You just worry about that sort of stuff. And, you know, you get people like Carragher shouting. Well, they shouldn't be listened to, basically.
You're the media.
But I think also it's very important before we move on to Arsenal and Liverpool to say United are shit.
Yeah.
Like, we're really shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's nothing new.
Yeah.
We've been shit for a long time. And I think when people say it's embarrassing that Coventry pushed us so close, in context of what? In context of Sir Alex's Man United, it would be embarrassing.
Yeah.
But in context of the last 10 years, the last five managers... Coventry giving us a game is not actually that embarrassing. And
it's despite, more the nature of the 3-0 up, though.
But despite being really shit, Ten Hag still has the best win ratio in our history after 2 years. It's not after 2 months. He's took us to two consecutive FA Cup finals and he's won in a Carabao Cup. So part of me goes, if he's so shit, imagine what he could do with a bit of structure.
But you mentioned the media as well, and what I don't think it helps when you've got ex-Manchester United pundits in the press that are like saying, this is Man United.
And they never liked him anyway.
But like, but it's nothing to do with that. It's like just constantly reaffirming it. This is Man... Like, nothing is given in football. Like,
you can't
Forest
be that,
in
man.
The 80s.
A decade, you can't... Arsenal stopped doing it, didn't they?
Yeah.
You can't keep talking about the Invincibles 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And Man United are still talking about... And it doesn't help having Neville and Scholes and
But
Keane.
That's where I think is a meet, like as a broadcaster.
Liverpool did that. Liverpool made that mistake. Hansen and everyone else talking about, oh, Liverpool. Didn't win a Premier League for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't keep harking back to the past. You've got to build a new future. And we've been shit for 10 years. That's our recent.
And then even like, you go, sorry, just to go all the way back, you look at that Forest decision. You've got Neville, Carragher, Louis Sahar talking about it. All right, Sahar played for Everton, but that was when they were more successful. So you've just got no representation of the lower down... tape. It's like, you know, asking Pep Guardiola's thoughts on the replays going, oh, we're really happy. Yeah, well, of course you are, because you, Klopp, and the rest of them have been pushing for it for the last couple of years.
And me.
And you, which is an absolute disgrace.
Let's talk about Pep and the title race, actually, because...
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
We both predicted that Arsenal and Liverpool might struggle this weekend, and amongst all... And we're quite right to talk about all the other stuff, because we really thought we'd be talking about Arsenal and Liverpool. We will, but it's almost got Lot and Villa all winning in the top four title race. But we've got to start with Man City, because Pep Guardiola, I think, again, he's going to miss out on the headlines because of everything else that's going on, quite rightly. But what a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically come out, what's he said?
He was basically saying it was an absolute shambles that they were playing Wednesday and Saturday and the amount of games they were having to play. And I think I'm right in saying from the tweet I saw that Coventry City have played one more game than this season.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's just no... I understand, like, there's, from an English perspective, especially if the 115 gets cleared, for me, as a Blues fan with no dog in the fight when it comes to Champions League, I want to see English clubs do well. But, like, take away your elitism, take away your sort of... that this the football in England is built on the pyramid, so just have a bit of perspective. Like, Coventry City, fight, like, they were going to be end up on what... I don't think they get playoffs, but they could end up playing 60-odd games. And also, it all comes back to, it's a privilege to be in those positions of like, oh, we got a lot of games. Wednesday, Saturday's not that bad.
No.
Chill
well,
out.
I've got a scenario for you. Dream girl. Or, yeah. or boy, I don't know.
I'm already with my dream girl and you're with your dream lady.
Yeah. Hypothetically,
yeah.
Somebody might say, dream girl, Margot Robbie, right?
Yeah.
And
Margaret Thatcher, what
Pep Guardiola's done is gone, well, Wednesday night, me and Margot had a good night. And now I've got to do it again on Saturday and then again on Thursday.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any sympathy. And look, whether they get done with the 115 or not, I think anybody in football would absolutely agree that Man City have got all the cards. They've got massive wealth. They've got the best squad in the world. They've got the best manager in the world. They've got some of the best players in the world. And they've got untold wealth to go and buy the best players this summer, next summer. They've won six out of the last seven Premier Leagues. So when Pep Guardiola starts moaning about playing Wednesday, Saturday, it falls on deaf ears. And it's actually, it's not helpful to clubs like Manchester United and Newcastle and Chelsea and Brighton and every other club that has had genuine injury problems this season. And I think when with regards to Pep Guardiola moaning about that and saying I'm not going to do publicity work or broadcast work because of the broadcasters, I just find it absolutely incredible because they've got the best of the best of the best. As a Man United fan, we've had the biggest injuries in our history, I think, this season. And Newcastle have had a lot. And it is damaging to your season. But Manchester City have got so many good players. And Wednesday to Saturday night isn't actually like Thursday to Sunday, is it?
I just had to double check because they're playing on Thursday this week, which he doesn't mention in his post-match interview that other Premier League clubs will be playing from... So Arsenal played Saturday... They're playing Saturday,
they're
Wednesday.
They're playing Tuesday.
They're playing Saturday, Tuesday.
And they played where? Tuesday. Yeah, so there's no differential apart from the fact... He's just disappointed because he went out of the Champions League and he's having a moan. But they've got absolutely no right to have a moan. No right at all.
What would those motivational podcasts say? They'd say pressure is a privilege, Mark.
Yeah, and also, let's not forget, I know they're fitter now, but the pitches are better. When I think back to that United treble winning side... Or I think longer back than that. I remember the days when you'd pick 11 players and you only had two subs. Mm. And they were playing Wednesday, Saturday. Like, harder pitches. It's all relative. I just think we live in a...
You know what we need back? Fat centre-backs. You know the days when you could have a fat centre-back?
Or Ian Mulby.
Yeah, a bit of Steve Bruce near the end. Like, really good. And you could get away with it. Like, just maybe bring that back.
I just think... I think there's so many technological and physical advancements in the modern world around football, but I think it has created...
Be the death of it, Mark, if anything.
I mean, you think about it. You're playing Saturday, Wednesday. I bet if you went and watched, if you went and looked at the starting lineups...
I mean, that literally is the Championship, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday.
I bet if you looked at a Championship side, Saturday to Wednesday, 46 games and all the Cup games, and you looked at their team, and it's predominantly probably the same sort of players every week, maybe.
You'd like to think it was.
And then you've got Premier League player, you know, Man City moaning about stuff like that. I find it incredible. I really do. I think it's a poor excuse.
I think there's the Premier League have got better at it, where they can, going into those Champions League games, they accommodate more for, you know, like giving them the extra day off so they can, and which I think is good because you want your teams to do well in Europe. But this is like,
well, there's an easy alternative as well. There's going to be two more Champions League games next year, Pep. Maybe just put your kids out in the FA Cup.
You got what you bloody wanted with the replays, mate.
Yeah, if you want the treble, it's not fucking easy, mate. Unless you've got 115 reasons to make it easy. Let's talk about the title, though. What a weekend. You know, I did sort of get lost in... I watched Arsenal after the Man City-Chelsea game. And obviously Liverpool, I didn't see any of it because it was on at the same time as Man United, right across it. In fact, I thought I might see the second half, but I didn't. But two tough away games. Obviously, they'd both lost the week before. We both sort of feel that Man City will win it. You felt it wasn't quite over yet. I was like, this weekend, I really fancied them both to drop points. Starting with Arsenal, got to say, that is a quintessential April title-winning performance where you go away to someone like Wolves, keep clean sheet, get a couple of goals, get a good win. Very good response from Arsenal after a very disappointing week.
Yeah, and also the main thing we said from last week was putting the pressure back on, wasn't it? Like, you, while City aren't playing in the Premier League, put the pressure back on in the table. They can get another result on Tuesday or Wednesday. Same for Liverpool.
Chelsea at home, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah, Arsenal on Tuesday, Liverpool on Wednesday. So they could put some real pressure on by the time City have got to go to away, which was one of the games I identified in my lists of being positivity that City weren't going to win the league. City have got to go away to Brighton, which hopefully is not one of them sort of, you know, when Fergie used to get near the end of the season and he'd play against Steve Bruce, Big Sam, and it'd be like, come on, mate, put the old reserves out this week. And I hope it's not the modern version of, come on, you can have this job after me, just pop the old kids out. So I really hope Brighton will put in a stellar performance, and then we could be going into next weekend, all change.
I think City are still going to win it, but I think if Liverpool and Arsenal, or Liverpool or Arsenal, can take it to the final weekend, at least we get maybes. But what I really want to happen, because I'm a bit of a bitch, is that the PGMOL and the Premier League have absolutely screwed this season up. So I it makes no difference to me. Man United aren't in the race. I will love it if Man City do win the league, but they only win it by a point or two, and you can go, oh, look at the dodgy decisions there.
Yeah, no, all I want is drama and tension, and we're getting into the last day of the season where you're doing a watch-along where every result is in play.
I thought Liverpool's result on the Sunday as well, just very, very quickly, was very impressive. Trent's free kick was really, really good. But Fulham had a week off. We always say that Fulham are the architectural team of the Premier League because they can beat anyone, they can lose to anyone. They reflect the strength of the Premier League. And there was always going to be a difficult game at Craven Cottage. And Liverpool had played on Thursday.
Yeah.
Atalanta did a job on them. And you think...
Watch that game. It was so boring.
It was. They went man to man and Liverpool couldn't deal with it. Which is a real blow for Liverpool, because I know Liverpool fans that you couldn't get an Airbnb that weekend in Dublin. You can now. They've all been cancelled. They really did think that was going to be... And it would have been... Look, again, it's a bit like the Coventry thing. Man United benefited from that VAR. And I don't like Liverpool, but they had booked out Dublin for that weekend. It was going to, and there's a lot of Liverpool fans in Dublin, and it's a great, great city to visit for a weekend. And I think they really thought that was going to be Klopp's farewell, and it would have been really nice. But obviously, football doesn't always work out like that.
Ultimately, I kept falling back to this. It was like, I think Loz was speaking about it here. It was like, but for me, it's the Europa League.
Yeah.
Like, in his tenureship, is that a word?
Yeah.
Fantastic. He's won the Champions League. So,
yeah.
But
they weren't expected to win that. They weren't even in it this year.
No,
if he decides to retire this year, he can't win the Champions League.
No, but that's what I mean. So it's like, I didn't know why there was like, I get it, like winning the Europa League would be great, but when you've had the highest of highs with Klopp winning the Champions League, when you're in it, you want to win it. I just never got the emphasis on them trying to do it.
I think it's just because it was the best club tournament they could win retiring. But it's not going to happen, Will.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
And I'd rather them, I'm still sticking with Liverpool to win the Premier League. Have done since February, March. I'm not a coward. I won't change. I won't flip or flop. And these results, and look, we could get to Thursday where there's some real pressure on Manchester City.
Are Liverpool playing this week, midweek?
Yeah, double.
Everton?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chelsea,
because
Arsenal.
Premier League fantasies.
I'll give a
problem. I'm going right up in that. That's Football League, actually.
But look, the disappointment of Thursday, and also... They played Thursday night and then they're playing
Sunday
afternoon. So, you know, very much similar.
No Salah as well.
No Salah.
He didn't start. He did come on.
So that's a really good result for Liverpool.
And also ties into that midfield, like Gravenberch. I think he had a bit of a tough game, but then scored a worldie, and then their squad rotation sort of paid off a bit there.
I tell you what, if Arsenal come out of this week with a Chelsea win at home and then they go to Spurs and win, I still think City will win it, but it's going to put City into the boring position of having to win every single game, which we know they can.
Still got some tough fixtures in there.
We need to do Pratt of the Week, but let's just do what is niche section. It shouldn't be, but the relegation battle.
Wow, you're right.
I think I said last week, you know me, I like a told you so.
Yeah.
Last week that the Premier League is not the best league in the world.
Yeah.
That Man City will win the league again, and the three teams that got promoted will go straight back down. And I had started to think Luton might do it, but that was based on them winning their home games. And that Brentford result is an absolute joke. What's gone wrong there?
It's not looking good, bruv, is it?
Why'd they let that? I would have expected... That's the sort of game you'd expect them to win. They have to win. And they got absolutely battered.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and say I sat down and watched the 90 minutes of Luton versus Brentford. But even from the highlights, you could tell that they were so open.
Even on website when it was just going 1-2.
It just didn't look good on CFAX. It was so bad. I just think they looked so open. I think it was the fourth goal crossing at the back post. The guy's there just gets beaten by his man. And that's when you, very generic thing to say, but then that's when you start to worry. They've got the effort, haven't they, in all them games. And... yeah, I mean, I'm going to be riding it to the end. If it goes off the cliff, I'll be there with Luton. But
I'm just going to have a look at their fixtures, actually.
But I think,
that is a bad one to sort of let go.
It's a bad
it?
One to lose, and then lose 5-1 to a Brentford side that have been in and around that relegation zone. Clear of it now. So sometimes you have to, know when to call it. You know, you might have been in relationships like that, but... I'm going to stay with Luton Town.
Look, they're still in the bottom three with 25 points. Even Burnley have got an outside chance now.
Well, they won at the weekend as
well,
didn't they?
I didn't see that. Burnley got 23 points, 34 games. Luton have got 25 points, 34 games, and Nottingham Forest have got 26 points, 34 games. There's only 3 points separating Burnley, Luton and Forest. I think the problem...
Got to wait for the appeals committee to come back from Forest.
They could do with a couple more points, couldn't they? But Luton have got Wolves away next, which is tough. And then they've got Everton at home, West Ham away. Never know West Ham. And then Fulham last game. So let's just imagine they'll beat Fulham because it'll be like their World Cup final.
And to be fair, now Moyes is leaving West Ham. I mean, Crystal Palace were 4-0 up inside 40 minutes at the weekend.
Yeah, Burnley have got Man United on Wednesday. Who knows?
Company.
You never know. Newcastle at home. Tottenham away.
No.
And then Forest last game.
I just want it to go. Look, just let's get some bloody drama in there. Let's have a bit of fun.
And then Forest's last four are, well, obviously they've got Burnley last game. They've got Man City at home. Forget about it. Sheffield United away.
Yeah.
Chelsea at home. And then Burnley away. I tell you what, maybe Burnley. I still think the three up, three down.
Yeah. Should we go on to Pratt of the Week?
Let's do it.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
I've got some nominations in here. I thought Nicholas Jackson, just for his performance up front, was especially going one-on-one and then playing one of the worst back passes I've ever seen.
Well, I said, you know, my gran's been dead a few years and I'd fancy her to score some of them chances over him.
You dead gran quite a lot. I miss her.
She was great.
1 minute of silence, Friday night,
take me down the shops.
Yeah.
What do you want? There's a pound.
Wow.
Panini sticker. Oh, I need to bring it in for the next show. I got this book over the weekend that my mate told me about, and it's like that thick, and it's basically 1986 to 1993 Panini sticker albums. You open the book, and it's got every page of the albums filled up.
Yeah.
And
do you want the sticker book for the Euros?
No.
I'll get you
one. I'm well past all that now.
No, but no,
Chelsea have got every... I wasn't going Yorkshire then. Chelsea can moan about a very ridiculous penalty decision, but you can also... I said, you can blame Michael Oliver and Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah.
Nicholas Jackson should not be missing those chances.
It's not
the first time.
The one who wanted to come on to you, were tweeting about him, or you text me, Jermaine Genius on CoComs. Now, I was in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, but even I watched the highlights and saw how horrendous some of the takes were from Genius. On the penalty decision, he said Jack Grealish's hand was by his side. I mean, that's not even subjective. That's like, his hand was out here. So that's not by his side, his hands. So that's just using your eyes.
We spoke about it at the start of the show. I suppose there's a different angle on it. But when you go back to the officiating, there is some... sinister's the word. Let's not use corrupt. Let's not use incompetent. Let's use the word sinister. There is something sinister going on around the protection of the PGMOL by the mainstream. Now, maybe it's something as innocent as, let's just not cause a pile-on. Let's just try and keep it calm and move on. There's plenty of games. Let's sweep it under the carpet. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's something else. But when I watched that game at the weekend, and I thought Genius was... I will never forgive Genius. I think he's rubbish. I do. I don't think he's a very good pundit at all. I mean, he was sat there when the Liverpool-Man United game got called off because of all the protests. And he basically sat there and said, I don't know what the fans are protesting about. The Glazers have done a good job. And I thought, to be on national TV on the evening of the game and not bother to do an internet search to understand why Man United fans might not be happy with the Glazers was disgusting. And that just shows me the measure of some of these pundits who don't do their research. But as you say, his hand's out.
Yeah.
Like, and then after the game, Lineker, Shearer, I think Mika was on there and somebody else. And I think the majority of them said, not a penalty for me. And I'm like, it's almost like someone's in the ear going, let's just move past that and just let's not make it a big thing. Man City won the game. There's another game tomorrow. Just brush over it. And I'm like, but I don't mind opinion when it's not my opinion, if it's well constructed. But it feels to me like it's just, they don't even believe it themselves. Just going, yeah.
No, they're a bit like referees, like Genius with that. He was like, he said it, and right, he might have made a mistake, but instead of correcting himself, you just have to go down that rabbit hole of like, his hand by his side, not a penalty. You're just in a replay, his hand's up, hand by his side, and they don't want to correct
Grealish
themselves.
It was a penalty.
Yeah. And
I mean, to be fair, wasn't it last year in the Manchester, it was in the final, wasn't it? We got a penalty against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't really a penalty or something. Oh, yeah. I think we got a penalty. I mean, I've scrubbed that from the memory, but that was a penalty. So yeah, I thought his general commentary is just is just odd at times. So he's got to be, I mean, look, I think just for that, you've got to be a Pratt.
I think, look, you've got to judge him on his one show performances, which
he's got a great agent. Yeah. I mean, I turned the FIFA awards on, he was doing that. I was like, bloody hell.
I think one show, very good on there. But I think you've got to, you know, if you're focusing on the one show, focus on the one show. Co-coms is a different beast.
Yeah.
Because even Carragher struggles with that, doesn't he? Like, he's not really in there.
You've got to be switched on to do co-coms.
You've got to be switched on to do the one show.
There's nowhere to hide.
Because you're jumping from stories about dead rabbits and famine to, oh, isn't it nice that Mark's grandma's here?
Yeah. I'd like to do the one show. I'd spice it up a bit.
Yeah.
I'd have to change the name, though.
To what?
The Goldbridge Show.
Yeah, I thought that would be coming. Anyone else you want to nominate for Pratt of the Week?
I mean,
just want to stick with Genius.
No, I think Genius is probably. I genuinely think that when Carragher saw the Forest tweet live on air and just completely exposed himself. No, don't worry, he didn't get himself naked, but completely just went. And I didn't like that. It's like a fan in a pub's tweeted it, because what's wrong with a fan in a pub? Fan in a pub is probably more learned and you know, knowledgeable than a social media admin. I mean, does Carragher not know who works on these accounts?
Well, I don't think it's the admin, though. It's definitely the... I think you can actually have a problem with the way that the tweets come out.
I like Carragher, by the way.
I'm not saying you don't.
I just think sometimes people don't understand that you can critique...
Yeah, yeah.
I get it with Man United all the time. If you criticise a player that's played bad, you automatically hate the player and want them out of the club. No, I just want them to... I want them to be the best they can be. And I think Carragher's let himself down. I think what he's done is, and Neville's done the same, is they're employed by Sky. They've obviously been told or feel that they need to protect referees, and they're just following a blueprint now.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is it's almost like following guidelines. I know the company policy. Yeah, I know what I've got to do here. And actually on this, the fans ain't with you because the fans are fed up.
Yeah. No, I agree. So
where you go? You can pick this week. Controversial.
Whoa.
He won't go Carragher, he likes him too much.
Well, I would like to get Carragher on the show.
Not allowed, Gary won't let him.
I thought Genius for like just not, it's adamant that it wasn't his arm out.
If it hadn't been such an amazing weekend of so many dodgy or controversial things.
Oh no, I know
who's
not mentioned, sorry. Anthony.
God, get out.
Why? You just beat Coventry.
You tell me off for being the celebration, please.
I'm not, yeah. Right, let me speak, Simon. I haven't got a problem with you celebrating. People were digging you out, which I like. I do like those tweets.
What, they're digging me out for what?
For celebrating.
Oh, I don't go
people
on Twitter.
Digging. Yeah, you do go on Twitter.
I don't search.
No,
on
but
Twitter.
I'm not saying you're searching it. But people were saying like you should.
Carragher does. Searches his name. Got
people,
rumbled last night.
Let me speak, Simon. People saying that you shouldn't celebrate Manchester United and Manchester United over. Oh. Like, you've got to celebrate going into an FA Cup final. I don't think you have to go up to the Coventry players who've just put in one of their shifts in their lives in front of a packed out Coventry City end and cup your ears to them going like that, when really, you know, you should be winning 3-0 in that game.
You know, celebrating the thing. Like, I don't know whether anyone's ever been in this position. I've been in it, and I've had it, friends and family have had it as well. You know, like if you think you might have a serious illness, and the doctor says you've got the all clear.
Yeah.
Why would you not be happy about that? And
celebrate? I'd go get in. I wouldn't go, oh, doctor, you said it was cancer, you prat. Oh, it's not. It's malignant tuna.
Tuna. Don't eat that. But no, look, I think Anthony gets attacked all the time because he's just one of those players. But
he was cupping his ears. But
the Coventry player scored a penalty and went like that to Man United fans.
Oh.
So have some of that. Have some of that.
Maguire actually went over with a little bit of class, shook their hands and said, well done, lads.
Yeah, but look, would I do it? No. Would I have a word with him in the dressing room and say, we're Man United, we shouldn't do that? But am I going to... He's not Pratt of the Week for doing it. He's just naive.
Well, he
scored against Newport and he kissed the badge.
Like, well, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Come on, it's Newport, you know. It's like...
It's like when Carlos Vinicius scored against Marine
but my problem with the Anthony stuff is that all this morning I've seen people going in on him, like journalists and stuff,
so.
And I'm like, Marcus Rashford's on 300 grand a week and he's been shit all season. What's more important? The fact that Rashford has inexplicably lost all ability to play football, or Anthony cupping his ears after a win? It's like... context. I mean,
yeah, but that's if you're a Man United. I don't really care how Rashford perform each week.
I think a non-United fan can have something about it, but as a United fan, I don't really care.
Well, you said I could choose.
Don't pick Anthony.
So Anthony's Pratt of the week.
No, I lose respect. Don't. You can't. You on the. You've got a. You've got all that to choose from. It's like to me taking you to a pick and mix, and you're going, "Oh, I've got an old sweet in my pocket." Come on, you've got loads of better choices than that.
Yeah, okay, I'll go Anthony.
You're a Pratt. He's a Pratt. She's a Pratt. They're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the week. 1, 2, 3.
No,
you said I could choose.
Get your comments in about. Will, disgrace, disgrace.
Right, we're trying the game again from last week, but with a different variation. So Niall's been given a microphone, bloody again.
Okay.
He demanded it. So he's picked a team and a squad.
I didn't demand anything.
Right, just don't speak yet.
Sorry. I'm absolutely crap at these.
So I have catered for you. Sorry for interrupting. I had catered for both parties here.
So basically, you've got to pick it. We're picking a name. We're picking names from a squad, which Niall will announce, but he's ranked them in terms of hardness. So if you get like... a Liverpool third keeper, you get more points.
Okay. Can I just say, I am absolutely shite at this.
We had a really good game last week.
Yeah, but I really struggle with it.
It's all right,
I need to put
you.
My phone down.
Yeah, you do need to put your phone
I'm
down.
I'm not. I've just got to.
Well, you can't Google it. You don't know what the team is.
Yeah, but he'll tell me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I could easily cheat.
Yeah, I know. Well, so maybe put your phone down.
I am. I'm just going to do that. I thought there was something else we needed to talk about. I feel like we might have missed something here.
Have a little look
was there any
it?
Either ors this week for you guys?
You had an either or, didn't you?
I had a Biri Eze or James Maddison, just because I feel Crystal Palace aren't getting talked about enough. And we know we want to save football and we have to talk about the positives of football. And I really like that front three of a Biri Eze, Mateta and Michael Elise. And they blew West Ham away in the first half.
Yeah.
And that Oliver Glasner.
Do you think he should be in the England squad?
Abiri Eze,
yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. But it's
hard to get
he's coming
now,
in
though.
That play, yeah.
But he has been good all season.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's just had the injuries, hasn't he?
Yeah.
No, I really like it. Just get a good run of games in. Look for the World Cup 2026.
Crystal Palace are one of them teams that a couple of injuries, it makes a massive impact. But when they've got their best players, I mean,
lovely.
Imagine if they kept Zaha.
Yeah. I think if you're a Palace fan going into next year, you're playing the football that you wanted with a manager that's coming to replace Roy Hodgson, who was doing the exact opposite. So I think you can be a little bit excited. So the either or, was it Biri Eze or James Maddison?
I think right now it's Eze.
Yeah.
But Maddison really hasn't recovered. Maddison reminds me of Christian Eriksen last year, where Christian Eriksen was really good for Manchester United and people have completely forgotten about him and he was abysmal yesterday. But he was really good up until the FA Cup in January and Andy Carroll really did him from behind.
Andy Carroll?
Yeah.
The striker?
Reading.
Really?
In the FA Cup.
Oh, I can't remember that.
Did him from behind with a bad tackle.
Yeah.
Not a big tackle.
No.
And he was never been the same since. Mm. And I feel, I'm not saying Maddison's never going to be the same, but I think sometimes a player can come back from injury and it takes them a bit of time. And Maddison's so important to Spurs and I think Spurs are struggling at the moment. So on form, I'd say Eze. In general, I believe Maddison.
I think we answer these like football manager players. Because you always want to pick the younger, more potential one. But then
Eze's not as young, though, is he?
No, he's younger than Maddison, though.
I think Eze might be 25, 26.
Okay. Well,
I'll go Eze. Elise or Rashford?
That is a good one.
Well, I would say Elise or Rashford, Elise, because Rashford...
Rashford needs to go.
I was doing this at the weekend, like... things that would have saved the Casemiro penalty. I said Cal the Dragon, a bag of cement, a breadstick.
Your dead nan.
My dead nan. But things better than Rashford, this player's better than Rashford this season. Harvey Barnes, he's hardly played, still been more.
You know, can't say Harvey. He was out, he's only just come back.
That might be too far.
Yeah, you've take it, calm down.
But at least he's better than Rashford.
Yeah, but I said, I think in the second podcast we did, because we were getting to know each other, and I said Rashford needs to go. Abroad, like he needs to get out of that Manchester bubble.
Oh, I agree
bubble.
With that now.
Needs to, like, just
I think I personally think with Rashford,
imagine how much of a Lisa when you went to Ireland. But that was a lovely Lisa life,
it.
Wasn't it?
I was a different man,
exactly. You were smiling.
Well, I actually went to be honest, I moved to Ireland when I was 18,
yeah.
And I literally went from a boy to a man,
yeah,
on the flight.
I can imagine
it was growing everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I did you think you get,
I said, get me some Manscapes, it's growing.
Just try something new.
No, 100%. I mean, I can't really talk. I can talk about it on United Stand, but it just descends into, you know,
hatred.
It's not even that. There's people who love Rashford in the United fan base, that's Player FC, and there's people who don't like him, who've never liked him, and it's hard to have a debate about it. I think this is the perfect place to do it. I think on Rashford, you're right. I said it 2 years ago, funnily enough. The similar situation under Ranić, he was inexplicably unlike Rashford. And I said it, and I got clipped up actually, because he had a good year last year, and I said I'd let him go. I can't see him buying a good performance at the moment. And then the next season he started scoring goals, and obviously the haters were like, look at what he said, look at what he said. But this season's been very similar. I don't think he will go, because I think Man United, the brand, he's from Manchester. Yeah, yeah. It's a hard thing to do. But on a purely footballing level, it's totally logical. And I think as well, don't know about you and everybody else, get your comments in. I'm not interested in Rashford was crap against Coventry, give him a five. No. We're past
just,
all that.
You just brought it up again.
No, but we're past all that, aren't we? He is bad this season.
Right.
Like, nothing's changing. He's going to probably be bad again. Why is he bad?
Yeah.
Why is he bad is the thing for me. How do you change that?
Ever since Carragher said that stuff about, him and Gerrard being at Liverpool and the pressure, that's just really stuck with me, because when you actually put it into the human element of the player, especially with everything he did during COVID, and it was amazing, like, and it shouldn't be the case, but like this pressure and the spotlight's come
too much too soon.
I just think get a new start, like get out of that bubble and, you know, enjoy the sights and sound of Spain, France.
Somebody said to me a couple of years ago, it just came into my head, that all the stuff he's done as a brand is fantastic and he was on board with it, but it wasn't him. It was the team around him.
No, but he still got to agree to it to do
it. Oh no, he deserves all the credit. It's Marcus Rashford. But what somebody said to me is, his personality doesn't match that. It's the people around him who've said, do this book, do this, and you know, amazing causes, but almost they were complimenting him by saying it's too much for his personality. He's actually quite quiet, and he's been thrust upon that, and that's great when you're flying high.
Yeah.
But as we know with this media, you will get all the shit, and now he's struggling.
Well, that's the classic like hero's fall, isn't it? We build these people up, and then we like to see them fall.
To me, Rashford is struggling on the pitch. Of course he is, but it's gone beyond that now. You know, every player can have 2 or 3 months. It's been all season. I genuinely think that there may well be a Dele Alli overlap sort of interview at some point, about, not for the same reasons, but also the whole, I fell out of love with football. You know, I was struggling privately. I would not be surprised. And look,
he's done that though, didn't he? He did that the other week on GQ or whatever it was.
It's a reason.
Play a tribute.
We have all sorts of conversations on here, and rightly so, and you can have these conversations. Dele Alli did that interview. It was fantastic. I listened to it. Is he back playing football? Is he really good again?
He's injured.
No, but he's not very good anyway.
Well, he might be good again. He's got them alarms set on his phone.
Yeah. Snooze that.
Hey, give him a chance. We like a comeback story.
I don't see it. It's not Rocky. But my point is, look, great true story from Dele Alli, but it doesn't mean you're going to come back from it. And my point with Rashford is, even if there is something going on behind the scenes, we're Manchester United. We can't carry people. It's not a charity. Like, at some point, a decision needs to be made. But
I think even, like, you know, when the tweet came out, you know, when it was the United stand one, like, for me, that just feels like it's from a team, from like, you could tweet anyone, but like, they've obviously know, like, you're Marmite in the Manchester community. Yeah. And then it goes out to that. So I think the people around him are more damaging.
Well, he did that statement, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago, where it was sort of like...
to play a tribute one, wasn't it?
I don't mind the criticism, but when people challenge or question my work rate and passion for the club, well, I'm not having it. And then,
which, like, you don't need to do the article, do you?
But I'm questioning it, Marcus, now.
And then his brother came out against, like, Rio Ferdinand, because Rio was on Stick to Football saying, but like, what do we say? And he's like, just pick up the phone. He didn't have to do that. Like, he's a pundit giving his opinion. Like, it's like, that's what he did.
Well, it's a bit like the PJ Mel stuff, isn't it? Like, people are entitled to an opinion. But look, I think to close it off and move on to this game that Niall's desperately ready to do, the Rashford thing is just, for me, it's gone beyond the bad performances. If he scored a hat-trick against Burnley, he's not back.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big issue here. And I'm interested in the why. And I'm with you now. I don't think United will sell him. And I think we're...
And as an England fan, there'd be nothing better for me to see him go to a Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Oh, I think it'd be great for him.
And just enjoying his football.
New environment. Like, really, you know, what happens when you sign for a new club? Your fan base is excited.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be patient with you. Drop yourself into that PSG side. You're playing farmers every week.
See, Hummels came out. It was like a great weekend in the field this week or something, because everyone calls the German League farmers. And I thought, if you get criticism like that, fair play to you. They're in the Champions League semi-final and no English teams are.
Give us your thoughts on Rashford. I'd be very interested to get non-United fans, who I know a lot of you are, what your opinions are on it. Trust me, it's been all season. I remember saying in October, he'd had a bad 2 months. I said, I'm absolutely convinced he'll start scoring goals. And we're now in April and it's just not
and
really
also,
happened.
If you score goals, you don't have to do a celebration that's like...
Oh, the cupping of the year. Yeah. That was... But look, you know, we've said our bit.
Right, Niall, what's the team that you've chosen and what's the time period?
So I've ruled out the Truff Brigade this week and myself. So I've gone with Arsenal 97-98.
Wow.
The league
and FA Cup team.
Yeah.
So what it works out as, Niall's done a point system where if you pick an obvious player, you'll get less points. But if you pick one of the reserves players, you'll get more
points.
And
how many lives do you get?
You get one life each, or is it just a point-based system?
I'd say do the lives.
Okay.
So Arsenal 97-98.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
There we go.
Go on, then you can start.
Christopher Ray.
Oh, the striker?
Yeah.
Yes, that's very good. And that is a two-pointer.
Nice. What's the most amount of points you can get?
So like, I've got some no-name like academy lads here that are a three-pointer.
Okay, nice.
So Christopher Ray, that's a good start. Okay. I've gone with a strong start to put you under pressure.
There's a risk. I'll go for Alex Maninga.
Position?
Goalkeeper.
Maninga.
Yeah, that is a two-pointer as well.
Yes, very lovely. Nice. Have that back at you.
Nice one. I think I've got some more, but I'm going to go with 98, Anelka.
Yep, that's a one-pointer though.
I'm going to go from the back. I'll go for David Seaman.
Spunky.
Seaman from the back.
that's a one-pointer.
Keeping score, no?
Yeah. I'll go with, well, definitely at that time, Tony Adams.
Yeah.
I'll go with Ali Dixon.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Both 1 points.
Yeah.
There's a couple here that I get a bit stuck on. I don't know whether he would have been there in 98. No, I don't think he would have been there in 98.
Just get the obvious ones. Just get the obvious ones.
Lundberg. No, I've got it wrong. I've dropped the ball.
No, that's the life gone.
I'll go for Steve Bould.
Ooh.
Position.
Centre back.
Yes,
and it's funny because
nice.
He was bald.
And yeah. That's a two-pointer.
Just go with your easy ones now.
David Platt.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Patrick Vieira.
Yeah.
Is he there? Patrick Vieira.
Vieira, yeah.
Ian Wright. Have I done him?
No.
No, but another one-pointer. Yeah. Currently, Will, you are ahead with one and you are alive gone, Mark.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark Overmars.
Yeah.
The trouble I'm having here is it's my era, but it is confusing with the 2003
Wenger
and the 98 one.
We just bought in Vieira.
Bergkamp's got to be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have I said Petit?
I don't think we have, no.
But he will be there.
Petit.
98.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, no.
That is a cheeky two as well, so that's nice.
Petit?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll put my hand up there, so that's a one.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
French World Cup winner. In 98.
Well, we've took this long to get to him. So
that's what I was thinking of. I was thinking about. I'm not going to go with this, but I was thinking about Will Tord, but I'm going to go with. I'm going to go Ashley Cole, actually.
No. That's him out.
No.
Winterburn.
No, Ashley
Cole.
This
is where I've gone wrong.
You and your mum's chuff,
win.
Probably.
I wasn't in my mum's chuff. I'm just confused between
who was some of the. It was Jermaine Pennant in the academy.
No, fucking hell.
Nwankwo Kanu.
Yeah, he would be that.
What position?
Striker.
Was Sol Campbell there?
No.
See, this is, I've got really confused.
Ray Parlour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anelka, Wright, Bergkamp.
Pires? Pires there?
No.
Too soon. See, I just get...
And it shout some of the ones that you had down for three-pointers, now.
So we have Gavin McGowan.
No.
Steve Morrow there, then?
Lee Canaville. Stephen Hughes.
Stephen him, yeah.
Paolo Venezia.
No. You've got to be an Arsenal fan for this.
Yeah. Isaiah Rankin.
Oh, I remember it. He went through the leagues, he did.
Yeah.
What else did we have that we didn't get?
Any ones there?
Did anyone say Overmars?
Yeah, I did.
I got him.
No, you pretty much got all of them then.
Any twos?
No, it was more like any more like goalkeepers and stuff like that. Stuart Taylor.
Stuart
John, oh, we did quite well then.
John Lukic.
Did you do Winterburn? Who was the left back then?
Winterburn. Well, you said it and I said it.
Oh, Winterburn was there still.
Yeah.
It was Lee Dixon.
I said Lee Dixon.
Yeah. So basically, that was.
It says Matthew Upson was there as well.
Ex Blues.
Yeah.
So basically, what you got there is the transition from sort of like the original George Graham team into the sort of emergence of Wenger, and then there's the team that, I was getting was mixed just, up with, which is the final team, which was where it was like Clichy,
Wiltord,
Touré,
Pires,
yeah,
Lundbergs,
yeah,
Henry, Campbell, Lorraine.
Very good. Quite like that.
Enjoyed that. I won.
Yeah, let's do. Let's won on both. Then you got the most points and Mark was out first. So.
Thanks, mate.
Next week, we're going to do Wimbledon 88.
That's fine. Vinnie Jones.
Laurie Sanchez. Wise. Dave Besson.
Dave Besson.
So keep it. That Terry seems Gibson. To be more competitive with
Eric
that,
Young.
That 97, 98 is the start of my football
Alan
fandom.
Cork.
So I had that on VHS Premier League year. So 97, 98, if we can agree on that, just going forward.
Yeah.
Maybe an England side in the 90s, but I'd struggle.
Yeah.
I'd struggle.
We're still working through to a better idea. So get in the comments if you've got one.
Yeah, I like that variation.
We could just do a quiz. Somebody said, "Why don't you just do a week quiz?" Where not a week quiz that's like crap, but like Niall could just do 10 questions based on the weekend's Premier League.
He could be the new Jamie, and then you do that well. That someone
said it was a bit similar to the fill-in, but I'm always of the opinion that if it's better,
yeah, but the fill-in can't take credit for quizzes.
No. I think a quiz
would
be good.
Nor would they, because they're good lads.
People, no, they wouldn't. And also, I think a quiz is a good idea.
Yeah. But you also, you've got a Chuff Monster over there.
Yeah. You could have a penalty shootout quiz where...
No, but it's good at thingy, because Tom does the questions for Jamie.
Yeah.
We need a Tom. Maybe Tom's good at quizzes.
Might do it for you. Yeah. But we could do a penalty shootout quiz, because he could ask me a question.
Yeah, nice.
And if I miss it, you get a bonus 2 points if you get it.
Nice. I like that. Yeah.
Five questions each, but it gets thrown over if you get it wrong.
Yeah, love that. All right. Do that then.
More work for Niall now.
It's lovely.
Thanks everyone for watching. It's been an absolutely banger Spotify listen if you're on there. So make sure you give us 5 stars and a comment. And if you're watching on YouTube, give us a like, a subscribe and a comment as well. We're exhausted after that one. What a show, but it matters. Thanks everyone for listening. And thank you for Will and Niall.
Thank you for Mark and Niall.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Speak to you on the next one.